Very good morning. It's Malcolm Graham-Wood here again with another Tip TV CEO interview. In fact, today's CEO and CFO interview. And it's a great pleasure to welcome back Mark Routh, CEO, and Peter Young, CFO of Independent Oil and Gas. You will remember that Mark and Peter were being interviewed here fairly recently, in fact, at the end of August. So there's probably a good reason for their return. And indeed, at the time, they just drilled the Skipper well, and the shares were close to the high of just under 35p a share. And therefore, you may ask why the reason for the return. Well, the Skipper well didn't appear to investors to come out quite as expected, maybe because of the oil or however. So what I thought I'd do is, the guy seemed very keen to come back and talk us through a number of things. So very nice to see you again, and obviously lots more to talk about. Why not let's go straight in, talk about the Skipper well and how it panned out compared to your expectations.
Okay, well, thanks for having us, Malcolm. Firstly, on Skipper, let's just stick to the facts, okay? The facts are that we drilled the well. The objective was to retrieve samples from the field in order to understand the oil properties so that we could model it to develop the field. Now, the facts are that the oil moved in the reservoir. It even moves ambient conditions. And when we were here before, we said it looks really encouraging. Now, the initial lab results, which we got back, shows that it's actually a dense oil, but it's a higher viscosity than we're expecting. So how do you match that up with the oil is moving the reservoir? Now, if that 11 API oil was put in a conventional 100 millidarcy rock, it probably wouldn't move. But the fact of the matter is, and the facts are, it does move. So how is that happening? Well, we've got a rock which is probably 8 to 10 darcies permeability, high porosity. So you put that oil in that rock, it moves. And that is the fact. We know it moves because we sampled it.
So it moved to surface, and I remember you talking about this famous jerry can of, of oil that you had at the top. Yeah. It moves to surface.
And it flows at ambient conditions, and that's why we thought, great, we've got a fantastic result here. Now, we do have a result, because the result is it moves in the reservoir. Now, so what to do with it? We now need to build the reservoir model, put those oil properties into the model, and see how we can optimally develop the field. That's going to take some time. Maybe our schedule has slipped a bit, but it's still a question of when we're going to do it, not if.
Good. And so would you say that the timings haven't changed dramatically, or were you just going to have to rebuild the model?
I think it's going to take some time, and we are going to need to take more time to get the full analysis done. It's still not complete. We're going to have to build the reservoir model, and we're going to find out the best way to develop the field.
Okay, and so in terms of what the investors are seeing, it's a disappointment in the sense that it's delayed things, but the economics of the model, you really don't think are going to change dramatically as a result of this.
Well, the oil in place has slightly increased. The crest of the structure was higher than before, so the oil in place has actually gone up slightly to just over 140 million barrels, most likely number.
Yeah.
If there's 140 million barrels in place, there must be a way to commercialise that. Now, as I said, the considered wisdom would be that doesn't work. And I would probably agree with people saying that in a conventional reservoir. But I have to just say the facts are the oil moved.
No, I mean, you understand why I have to ask this, because funnily enough, in this way of discussing things with you in a studio like this, for individual investors, is the best way of doing it. It's very difficult for them to understand sometimes. Well, not because it's not easy for me to understand, why you've suddenly got something which isn't as you expected. From all, you can put out as many RNS as you like, and unless you explain it the way you are doing it, it's difficult to quite understand. So I appreciate that you're...
But let me be clear. Yeah. We're not relinquishing this licence.
Yeah, understood.
You are specifically on the economics. I mean, the economics will be worse because the oil is worse quality than we thought it was.
Yeah.
So we need to be clear about that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it isn't economic. We've got to go through the process that Mark explained. We've got to build the reservoir model based on what we now know. Then we've got to run the economics based on what the oil is actually worth, what we can sell it for, and then we'll be in a position to say how we're going to move it forward and when we're going to move it forward. So it's going to take a while, but we're going to push on with it.
Good. But thank you for understanding why I have to keep sort of just so it gets we get the message across. Yeah. So we need to talk about the rest of the portfolio, because even since the end of August, a number of things have changed. So in terms of the Blyth Hub, a number of things have changed. In particular, the announcement you made yesterday about the 3D seismic that you've been working on. Yeah. So should we have a chat about Blyth and the Hub and so on? And then at the end of that, we'll talk about Cronks and why you've withdrawn from that licence. So let's
It's all part of the same story.
Okay, so let's...
I mean, as we've said to our shareholders and investors, we acquired some previously shot 3D seismic over the Blyth Hub. It was part of our licence commitments to do on both the 27th and 28th round licence awards. Now, we've taken the opportunity to reprocess all of that data and to reinterpret it and remap all the structures that we see. There are several discoveries, as you know, in the area. Now, what we're finding is we've actually had to acquire more data, because some of the structures we're seeing needed more data to actually evaluate them. Read into that what you will. It's taken us a bit longer, but we're trying to do the job properly, and it's not a straightforward project to undertake. What we're finding is that the results we're getting from Elgin and Blyth, we're getting some increased numbers. On Cronks, we saw about the same, a bit less. And on the other areas, we're still evaluating.
Right.
So on the whole, what we're going to find, I suspect, is an increase in the resource base over the Blyth Hub area.
Right.
That's where it's heading.
Yeah.
Now, when we've got some results and when we can hang our hat on that number, we'll let people know. But before we can actually do that, and we've had a proper review of it all, we can't say anything more than that.
Yeah, we can say we're encouraged by how it's going, based on the work that's been completed on Blyth and Elgin and the work that's ongoing on Harvey, Hambleton and Truman. But it needs to be complete. So I think it's fair enough to say we're encouraged. But Malcolm, you said in the blog that it was disappointing that we dropped Cronks. So I'm glad you raised it, because we don't agree with you.
I think what I said was it's disappointing, but given it was only 2-3% of the total you have in your portfolio, it's not that meaningful.
Yeah. It's about 5%.
But it's always disappointing. In my view, I said it's disappointing because it's something that we had in the portfolio, and that you might have found that you would have liked to have developed it.
Let's put it down to portfolio management. I mean, on Cronks, we'd have had to commit to a firm well to keep the license. And in the grand scheme of things, I think we've got better things to do with the money. Cronks would have been at the end of the plan anyway.
Yeah.
And who knows, it'll come back later.
Okay.
It would have been the smallest license in the portfolio, would have required another well, another tieback. Where we've got such a big gas resource now that we're really excited about, it's just not material to us anymore.
Understood.
And the rest is getting bigger, and Cronk's got smaller.
Okay. So we'll talk about the rest in terms of Vulcan, because you've just announced that you've completed the Vulcan acquisition.
Yeah.
And I think in the blog I've always said that the Vulcan acquisition was one where you were getting an awful lot for what seemed like not very much money.
Yeah.
And so it's a deal. How does that fit in with the portfolio now that you've got it in and you're certain? Some people, last time you'd have said the same, but tell us how Vulcan fits in.
We're super excited about it. I mean, we did cover this a little bit last time.
Yeah.
We paid 21 cents per barrel of oil equivalent for the Vulcan fields collectively, which is a big resource, over 300 BCF expected recoverable resources. One reason it was so cheap was because the party who owned it didn't have plans to develop it, perhaps didn't have an offtake solution to develop it. We've gone from saying we're in advanced discussions when we saw you last time on the offtake route to now saying we're in advanced exclusive discussions.
Very good.
So it's moving forward. We'd like it to move quicker, but we're dealing with large companies here. But we are making progress, and we're confident we're going to get that development solution in place. So something we bought very cheaply for that reason, but also when the gas price was 30p a therm.
Yeah, I'll come back to gas price in a minute.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
But in terms of, what's the timing of Vulcan? What's the program?
It still remains the same. I mean, we will aim to get the field development plan together in the first half of 2017.
Yep.
There's a lot of work to do. You know, we will need to acquire the 3D seismic across the area, do our own interpretation of that. What we've got is inherited maps, which we're looking at on the resources, which the 2C resources, independently verified, add up to 320 BCF. I mean, you add that to our Blythe Hub, we get 375 BCF. I mean, that is, you know, 63 million BOE, if you want to convert that. These numbers are large numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is the existing portfolio, and we're moving forward to develop all of it. Yeah. It's two significant gas hubs.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go into ask a little bit about the rest of the reserve base and resources and so on. But I just wanted to, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to talk about gas and your exposure to gas and how much it is as a percentage of the whole company. And what you see the pricing. You're just about to go on to the pricing, and I stopped you just now, Peter. So,
well, it's the gas portfolio is around 2/3, with Skipper being about 1/3. Skipper's got slightly bigger, as Mark mentioned, but we think the gas portfolio also is getting bigger. So we'll give the results of the reprocessing work in due course. In terms of the story for gas, Mark, and why we're bullish on gas, do you want to?
Yeah, well,
and prices. Yeah.
Apart from the price, it's what 56p a therm today. So you know, it's a huge increase from where we were. But significantly, I'm long on this story about gas. Gas local to the market, especially at the Bacton terminal, the most important terminal on the east coast of Britain. Local gas to market, high swing gas is highly valuable.
Yeah.
Now, importing gas from far flung places, long distances, is bad. Politically, it's bad economically, but especially it's bad environmentally.
Yeah.
To pump gas from long distances to the east is worse than burning coal in this country from an environmental point of view.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
So got all the losses along the way.
So it's about 2/3 of the portfolio, and it's the price is good, and it's convenient. So, you know, that ticks a lot of boxes in...
We're excited by the economics at a 30p gas price, so we're now feeling very excited at 56p gas price. And you know, maybe it'll stay at 56, maybe it won't, but the forward curve has moved up, largely in line with that moving front as well. Yeah.
So apart from that, in the reserve and resource base, what do you have that we haven't talked about so far? We've mainly gone through everything realistically.
The main news we're going to have is an update on the 3D seismic around the Blythe Hub.
Good.
Some structures there.
So there's more to come.
There's more information to come.
Good stuff. Someone was asking me the other day, they said there's a parallel with CH4 here, and does that sound right to you?
Well, there are strong incarnations. Well, what we've got is a portfolio of gas assets, and we are buying assets into a rising gas price. That's what CH4 did.
Yeah.
CH4 then created hubs. And that the hub strategy is tried and tested. It delivers. Basically, you've got infrastructure which is exporting your gas, and you develop nearby fields and nearby discoveries around and put it through the existing infrastructure.
Good.
So CH4 delivered a record return to the private equity investors into the company.
Yeah.
A 7.3-fold return of capital back to shareholders, and that's what this is about. It's about providing, creating value for our shareholders, of which we are two significant ones.
Now, I'm really not expecting an answer to this because I asked you the last time, and it's about buying a producing asset. You know, you've always talked about wanting to make an acquisition of a producing asset. Are we any closer? Is it still on the radar, or have you called it today because it's too difficult, or what?
I'm afraid it's the same answer. We are looking at the number. We've passed on a few. We're looking at a few. We really hope to close some.
Yeah, and closing the Vulcans acquisition gives us $25 million plus of tax losses.
Right.
That improves the economics of
producing
asset. Also makes it easier to fund. So, you know, we're making some progress.
And on funding, the London Group and your funders are still all in a line behind you? Four square behind you?
Absolutely. That funding's still there. We've used it to acquire assets so far. It's there to work the assets up to FTP kind of stage and to keep us moving forward and keep the cost covered until we do large funding, which will be needed to actually develop the assets when we get to FTP stage.
Yeah. You've been called a tenacious bunch of guys, and you've been through some...
It's worse.
Well, I'm just going to say, it's sometimes worse, even in my notes. And you survived, you know, the low oil price and the gas price, and both of which have picked up. Before I finally ask you about your sort of vision for the future, Do you see that, you know, now that you're expanding the business, you've got to maintain the funding, despite the adverse conditions, you're...
Well, I spent much of my career having people tell me I couldn't do things. People said I couldn't set up CH4. We did. Okay. People said that we couldn't list IOG. We did.
Yeah.
People said we couldn't drill the skipper well in this downturn of the market. We did. Yeah. People said we wouldn't survive the $26 oil price. We have. Okay. People are now looking at what we're going to do with skipper, and I say, watch us. Mm-hmm. And on the gas portfolio, we're doing it. We're going to develop the two hubs in the Southern Gas Basin. Just see, we'll do it.
Sounds brilliant. That wraps up pretty well. Is there anything else you'd like to, you know, on the vision front? Or I mean, it seems pretty good to me that you're, you know, you're concentrating. You've got, you know, we know where the assets are. It's been difficult. Skipper was tricky, but you're pushing your way through with Vulcan. And to be honest, you know, the outlook, you know, does look most interesting.
My perspective, I feel we're stronger now than we've ever been.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. It's been a great pleasure to welcome Mark Routh and Peter Young of Independent Oil and Gas back into the studio. I look forward to seeing you again next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.